Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's right. It's time for another Lunch Hour Rodeo Show with Megan 8, your official voice of Buckers Now and Rank Bull Apparel. And I got to tell you, we got some cool things lined up today. Well, at least I thought we did, but then we really started getting into some good things coming in the chat room here first thing this morning. And I'm telling you, you fans are right at it, and I tell you, I love it. Love how you guys can get in here and start talking right on the subject. And, you know, we'll kind of throw it out there to you. We'll kind of give you our perspective. But hold on real quick. Let's get into some other things here just right here at the moment. Got to tell you, I was really disappointed yesterday. I have been seeing the PBR Tweethearts group on Facebook. I've been watching some of the Cowboy Stalkers comments coming in, and it sounds like a lot of the fans are very upset over the fact that the PBR is doing this pay-per-view for the Last Cowboy Standing. And we explained it very well in our show yesterday, at least I think we did anyways. But I really think that some of you guys, you know, not you as far as our Making 8 Maniacs, because we know that you guys are pretty well kind of educated on it now. But we see that there are a lot of fans out there that are not educated enough to know what is going on with this broadcast and why they're doing it as a pay-per-view where they can show limited commercials and can show the entire event where they couldn't do that any other network. They can't buy that much airtime, and they can't guarantee that it's going to be that long. So why would you be upset about something when, you know, it's the PBR that's trying to look out for you? You know, it's one of those things that just has to be done. You know, in order to give you the full exclusive coverage of this event, that's what they're going to have to do, is make it a pay-per-view thing. Now, we came up and we talked about some of the alternatives that you can do by getting together with a group of fans in your area and either taking it out to a sports pub or something like that. You know, it's one of those things. You know, there's several alternatives. You can do it at your house. Everybody pitch in $10. You know. I'm getting word that I need to start over. But really, this is the first part of our conversation. This is our first topic anyways, Chris, so you're not really missing anything there. You really didn't. It was just that I saw that the comments were coming in on the Facebook pages, the group pages there, about how people were threatening to boycott this pay-per-view event, that they were upset by the PBR doing that. You know, but yet these are the same fans that are writing emails and throwing a fit because NBC only showed an hour and a half coverage, you know, and they had to edit some of the bull rides. So, you know, I mean, really, you know, it is what it is. And you know, when you're talking about an event like this that's never been done before, they can't even close to guarantee how long this thing is going to take. This thing could literally take 6 hours, you know, and to try to put something like that on the television, you can't do it. you can't guarantee that it, I mean, it could last 2 hours, it could last 6 hours, you know. So you can't buy that much airtime and guarantee that you're going to be able to fill it. That is why the PBR did it as a pay-per-view. That's the only reason why. They're not looking at it to make money, but they figured that in order for you to be able to view this, other than being there in Las Vegas, which is going to cost you an arm and a leg to be there, you know, with flights or gas, you know, whatever the case may be, and then tickets and hotel accommodations, you know, the whole thing. I would much rather be there myself. But if I can't, the next best thing is I want to watch the entire event somewhere, whether it be at my own home, whether it be at somebody else's house, whether it be at a venue that may be hosting it, that may be able to put it on for you. There's so many alternatives, you know, and that is why. And I just want you fans to know that when you guys see that, do me a favor, explain it to them in a sense where maybe we can all understand and they can get that concept, or tell them to come over here and call me and or get on our show and go back and listen to it as we explain it. That is the reason why. Hey, that's right, we'll all go to Hooters if we have to, you know, but that's just it. It's just a matter of picking up the phone and calling the Hooters in your area saying, listen, there's a pay-per-view event going on. We've got 10 people that want to come in and watch this thing. Can you guys provide it? It's a yay or nay. They'll give you a yes or no answer. If they say they're going to have it, they'll have it for you. You know, you get the name, you get the contact name, they will put it on air for you guys. And that's what should happen, you know. They're not going to turn that down because they would much rather have you go and spend money buying their food, drinking their beer, sweet tea, whatever the case may be, you know. But that is why, you know. And like I said, when it comes down to this last call, Cowboy Standing, this is not your typical event. This is not your mama's bull ride. You know, it's not your backdoor bull ride. This thing could go on for a long period of time. 40 of the best cowboys matched up against how many bulls, you know, and these guys are going to go round and round. You ride, you're in. You know, I love the concept, and I know that this is going to be something that's going to be revolutionary to the sport itself. But, I mean, come on. We can't complain about NBC shutting us off and showing so many commercials. And then when PBR does the next best thing by giving you the opportunity to watch the entire event, limited commercials, but you're going to have to pay for it. It's the only concept. You can't have your cake and eat it too, you know? I mean, PBR is doing everything that they can to accommodate you, the fans. It's up to us to step up and decide whether or not we're going to do it, you know? I, for one, am going to make sure if I have to pay for the pay-per-view, I will do that. If not, I will go somewhere else where they're hosting it and invest my money in that particular place. You know, I think we should have video cameras set up at locations, whether it be a house or wherever, and we'll do live video streams set up. You could do it on Buckers Now. You know, maybe we'll have that set up by April where we can get a bunch of different venues from all over doing meetup parties, and we can all get together. And you know how, like, the NFL will go to, you know, they'll show different box windows of people watching, you know, particular events or whatever, football games, whether it be the Super Bowl and all that. I think we could do that. We could put up a location in the Northeast and Southeast and have meetups, and everybody turn around when they're on air and give a big old thumbs up and, hey, you know, we're here and we're having a good time watching this thing. It's going to be wild. It's going to be explosive. Yeah, you know, we're looking into that. You know, we do want to find out how much it's going to cost, when the event is going to, you know, start, the full details on it. And as soon as we find out, we're going to be happy to spread that along to you guys. We know that Miss Barb out there will be posting links up as soon as she finds out about them, you know. But most definitely, this, you know, it's important for us to support this. You know, I, for one, am willing to pay that price. I'll pay $40 because if I were going to be in Vegas, it would cost me, you know, a whole lot more than that when you're talking about your traveling and hotel accommodations and everything else. Tickets to be there, you know, it's going to be at the Mandalay Bay. It's not going to be at the Thomas and Mack, so you're talking about less seating, so the prices are probably going to be a little bit more, you know. Most definitely, you can bet that I will be there with, you know, and ready to go for this type of event. It's going to be wild. So that's something that, you know, I wanted to throw out there here at the beginning of our show. It's something that bothered me when I went back yesterday. We talked about it during our show, and granted, not everybody listens to our show. But if you guys catch it, tell them to go back and listen to the archives, as we kind of might help explain some things a little bit easier for you guys to comprehend. This is not something that they're trying to make a buck off of. They're just trying to make sure that you can get what you need, and that is the entire event, you know? This is the only way that we have capable of doing so where everybody benefits. I mean, really, you know, the PBR can only do so much. They have to ask for your support, and this is what they're doing, is asking for your support. If you guys want to watch it, go pay for it. You know, at least help out in the cost, because it's going to cost them a whole lot of money to put this event on. You know, some people just don't understand that, and they want everything for free, and I'm sorry, but I'm trying to think. Silly question. With pay-per-view, are you able to access the broadcast after the event is over? Good question. Very good question, Barb. I know that in the UFC fights, if you purchase it like an online pay-per-view, you can. I do believe that if you purchase it in a pay-per-view through your cable network, that you also can watch it in replays there. So, yeah, I'm not 100%, but I do believe that you can. So this will be something that it only lasts for like I believe it only lasts for like a 12-hour period or 24-hour period or something that you'll be able to watch those replays. But, yes, I do believe it is archived there. So, you know, you'll have to look into that. My recommendation would be to find out when it's going to be on pay-per-view and call your local satellite and cable companies and find out for sure. They would be the ones to fill you in on the details. So that's where we stand there. I mean, that's just my opinion on it, you know. But I've got to get into some of the things that are going on, some of the comments that were coming on. Now, is that Red Bluff PRCA, is that going to be televised? I see that the comment came in, and that was a good question, Barbara, or a good comment, is that going to be a televised event there? Is that going to be something that you're going to want to watch, like on ESPN or whatever the channel is that's going to be broadcasting that? Or are you actually going to be there live at the event and then come home and try to watch it? We're going to take our first break here, fans, and when we come back, we're going to get back into it. We've had some comments coming in right before the show. We want to get into them. I promise you we're going to get into them here real quick. But, you know, one thing I got to apologize for is, well, shoot, you know, yesterday we did not wish you guys a happy Valentine's Day. I got so tied up, and before we closed out, I forgot to mention it. So I want to say happy Valentine's Day, even though it's a day late, to all of our fans out there. We sure do appreciate you guys for tuning in to us, and hopefully you guys didn't spend it alone and you had your sweethearts out there with you. So with that being said, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll get back into the bull riding rodeo action right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. Don't go anywhere, fans. We'll be right back.
I hear a lot of folks say, man, you're not quite right. You've been riding on that crazy side damn near all your life. Not about to change, but they don't understand the thrill of riding thunder. Survive.
National Finals rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin 8 is a winner.
All right. Welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Makin 8, your official voice of BuckersNow.com. That's right. If you guys are not a member yet, get over there and sign up. Get your profile started. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wild one, and we got some big things in the work. Rank Bull has now jumped on board with us as well, and we have got to thank them for all your clothing, your bull riding, your rodeo needs. Get over there to rankbull.com and check them out. Telling you, we've got some cool things coming your way there, fans, and they are coming soon, so y'all better get a grip. Let's see. I'm seeing some of the comments coming in here, and we're going to get right down to it. Let's talk about some of the things. You guys are throwing out some really good topics. First off, the beginning of our show, right before we went on air, we had some comments coming in about and some questions about the Brazilians. Why is it that some people are having some issues with the Brazilians and how they ride, how they take their time in the chutes, how they have four guys pulling their ropes at a lot of different events? Well, being a bull rider myself, I've spent a lot of time back there behind the bucking chutes, spent a lot of time traveling with some of the Brazilians. One of my good friends that I actually started off riding bulls with was a Brazilian. And, you know, I will tell you that they have a different style that they use to ride. But I will tell you this, that there are some people that are not fans of the way that they treat the animals there in the bucking chutes. There's a term that they use, and it's called warming up or heating up the bull. And what it does is when they get in there, you know, and Kat Johnson can certainly attest to this because her being there behind the bucking chutes, see how these bulls get their ropes put on them way back before they're even loaded into the bucking chutes, you know, as they're in the alleyway getting ready to get loaded into the bucking chutes. These cowboys are getting their ropes on their bulls. Now, I will tell you, this is something that doesn't happen with every Brazilian, but it does happen from time to time. And you guys may recognize this. This is something that you may not be able to see from your seats there at the Built Ford Tough Series. It's definitely going to be something that you're not going to see on television. Going out to some of these smaller events, you may catch word of this. You may be able to visualize what's happening. But this is the concept that has happened over the past years with the Brazilians. Now, you watch how the bulls buck with these Brazilians. You will see a lot of these bulls will stay very flat. They don't buck a whole lot. They don't have a whole lot of stretching out and kicking. There's a reason behind that, and that is because they put their ropes on just like any other cowboy does ahead of time. But they pull it very, very tight. Now, what this does is this kind of wears that bull out just standing there because it pulls that tension on them, and it's like you putting a strap around your chest, you know, and it gets your heart rate up. And so that's what it does is it starts working that bull out right there. It gets his heart rate up, and it makes them feel like they're already working. So when they come out, they can't stretch out. Now, that's where you're going to see some of the Brazilians, and I'm not saying all of them. Please don't catch me wrong and don't take offense to what I'm saying. But, you know, they can't stretch out because there's four guys pulling that rope so tight on that bull that it doesn't give him an opportunity. He can't breathe. So it's in a sense, it's wearing him down. And so that's why they stay real flat and they spin, which fits the style of the Brazilian bull rider, which is to sit back, you know, more on the bull a little bit, use his arm strength. You know, if that bull will go around to the right and then spin around to the left, it's a lot easier for them than it is to get that jump kick. And you watch it. You go back and you watch it, and you watch these Brazilians and how they ride with their deals. Now, PBR has set a standard that only one guy can actually help pull your rope, or maybe two. I'm not 100% on that, but I think that you can have one person pulling your rope, and then you can actually reach over and pull your rope as well to help. I think that is it. But that is something that does commonly occur at events, and you'll see it if you're looking for it. If you're not, you may not see that. So when you get a Brazilian that is in the bucking chutes and he's ready to go, that is part of the thing that happens there, is he will actually take a lot of time because, you know, he is what they call heating up that bull. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a matter of mistreating the bull, but it is giving that Brazilian an advantage. I don't think that they're really hitting them or kicking them. They'll grab their ear just like any other cowboy does. Now, I will tell you that what I've seen from the Brazilians inside the bucking chutes with trying to maybe get that bull to stand up, you know, they'll kind of rub their leg across his across his shoulder, his front shoulder, in order to get him to stand. You know, it's one of those things that I don't see any difference between an American or a Brazilian doing things like that. My concern, my opinion on it, now this is just my opinion, so please take it for what it is, but I believe that the Brazilian bull rider is getting an advantage by heating up that bull and getting him his heart rate up and working there from the time that he's in the alley getting ready to be loaded, and they put that bull rope on there so tight that the bull just, you know, he starts working hard right there just standing there. So, you know, everybody does that. I see that the Cat Johnson making the comment in there. Everybody does that. That they push the bull off the wall with their boots, you know, or the wooden board. You know, they slide that slot in there so that way they can get their legs down. I think that happens with every cowboy. I for one never wasted time in that bucking chute because, as the comment was made earlier in our chat room, that is where the cowboys have a better chance of getting hurt. You know, I really believe that, you know, but if you look at it, look at how many of these bulls are really giving those Brazilians a hard time because they're stressed. They're already overworked right there. Not every single Brazilian does that. I'm just saying that it's a tendency because it's something that took place in Brazil when these bull riders, before they came up. So they don't know any different. You know, they can have four or five guys pulling their rope on that bull, and it takes the air out of them, and it allows them not to stretch out, and that's why it's so hard to get a bull to buck and really stretch from top to bottom, where they drop their nose and they kick their feet way up over their head. It's very hard for them to do that. Now, within the PBR, that the rules have changed a little bit, you can only have two hands on the rope, as I was seeing the comment coming in there. That is 100% giving the Americans back that advantage, you know. But I will tell you that I do not believe that there's any guidelines set in there about heating up that bull. And, you know, yes, the stock contractors are very, very upset by it. They do their best. They will take that bull rope off that bull and set it back up and make them retie it if they see it. But a lot of times they can't see it because they're still back there flanking other bulls, and they're getting ready for the bulls that are already in the chute, you know. Let's see. Man, I'm telling you, chats are coming in there so fast, I can't hardly keep up with them. Let's see. You know, I do see some of the comments coming in about taking too much time in the bucking chutes there. You know, like I said, the Brazilians feel like they may have an advantage by keeping that bull in there just those few seconds longer, you know, in order to keep that bull just worn out. So when he does turn out, he's already tired. And, you know, like I said, you watch the Brazilians ride and watch the bull. You watch the animal and watch how much kick he has, and you'll be able to see if that bull's been heated up or not. It's a common thing. You'll see it less in the Americans than you will the Brazilians. I will tell you that. But I will tell you, it is not every Brazilian. So please, I know we have a lot of fans out there that are Brazilian bull riding fans, you know, and don't take offense to what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that they don't know any different because that is what they're taught to ride, or how they're taught to ride in Brazil, you know. They Should they set a standard on that? Absolutely, 100%. Has the PBR attempted to make some of those adjustments? Absolutely. You can get fined for heating up your bull, you know? And you know, it is something that is watched, but you can only put a certain amount of eyes because you got to watch the arena. You have to watch what's going on during the bull ride itself, you know? So, you know, people are going to get away with it. And cowboys are going to get, you know, they're going to do what they can. But it's a term that has not been brought up because of the fact that it's discouraged. And they don't want you, the fans, getting turned off by that. You know, like I said, not every one of the bull riders do that out there. So don't take what I'm saying and say, oh, well, because he's a Brazilian, that's what he does. That's not the case that I'm saying. You know, just understand that kind of stuff can happen and does happen out there. And you'll see it a lot more of these smaller bull rides. But these guys as well, they're being penalized because they're being caught. And this is not something that, you know, it does create a lot more stress on the animal. And it's not fair. It gives you the advantage when, you know, you're not giving that bull the advantage to give you that full opportunity. And that's why you may see a lot of the Brazilians get lower scores at some of these events as well, because judges know that. Judges know that if the bull's flat spinning and he's already tired, well, whatever the case may be, he's going to get a lower score, you know. And I've seen it happen time and time again at a lot of these events. So it's just something different to look out for. You know, I think that you guys I think you guys should have a fair shot. You ever go out to any event where Donnie Gay is announcing, he'll explain it to you outright because he believes it's cheating. He doesn't believe that it's fair, and he doesn't believe it gives the bull the ability to do his job. Yes, I see the comment coming in there about the bull should absolutely have the same advantage that the rider should, and that's to be able to buck to the best of his ability. And if he's heated up in that box, if that rope is so tight around that bull that he can't stretch out and buck like he needs to buck, then he's not getting that fair shot, you know. But like I said, it doesn't happen everywhere, but it does happen from time to time, and you will see it. If you watch it, if you know what you're looking for, you will see it. So hopefully that kind of explains a little bit about that. You will see that a lot of people will say, I'm not a Brazilian fan, and that could be the reason why. And you may hear that term about heating up that bull. It's a term that's used quite often within the industry, and that's what they're referring to when they talk about that. Let's see. I have to disagree with you on that one. I personally have been there and pulled Brazilians' bull ropes. I have pulled some of my friends, some of my traveling partners' bull ropes, and they absolutely do pull those bull ropes a whole lot tighter. And I don't know if Brendan is trying to protect the integrity of the event, the sport itself, by saying that, but I will tell you firsthand that I do know, and I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, I do know firsthand that when you've got three guys pulling that rope, you know, you're sucking that bull's chest in. You're not giving him that advantage to let out that air so he can inhale and exhale like he needs to when he's stretching out coming out of that bucking chute. And you'll see that bull, and he will stay flat, and he will spin in a circle right there, but he will stay flat, and that is what gives those Brazilians that advantage, because that's how they ride. They like that flat spinning. They like to be able to sit back on that bull and not have to worry about the jump. They just have to worry about the spin. And yes, absolutely, I think that could be a smart political thing. I'm not here to make friends, but at the same time, I'm not here to make enemies either, and I really don't want to offend anybody, and I apologize to you if I do. I'm just telling you what my observations are. I've been there. This is not coming from somebody who is making, you know, his speculations based on sitting in the grandstands. I've been there behind the bucking chutes. I've been there pulling ropes for these Brazilians, you know. So that is my theory on it. That's my point of view on it. And you can take it for what it is and say, oh, yeah, he's full of crap, you know, and it is what it is. I refuse to believe that. And that's fine. I completely understand. I just tell you to take a look at it, you know. But that the question and the comment came into the chat room earlier today about that, and I wanted to make note of it, that you will see that that's why a lot of these, especially the older style cowboys that have been around for a long time, will tell you that they are not big fans of the Brazilians because they feel like that's the reason why, that they have a better advantage to ride. So, you know, I hope that that explains some of the things. I'm not quite sure what that link is that Barb just posted up about the Chad Denton incident. That I'm going to have to go back and take a look at that. For taking too much time in the bucking chutes. I see that. Now, I think that you'll see, you know, especially when you're competing against a lot of these guys, you know, you want to try to get the best advantage you can. So if that means that you're taking a little bit more time in the bucking chutes to kind of wear that bull down, it's happened, you know. It absolutely does happen. So, you know, I'll have to go back and read that article. That's a great article, and thank you for posting that in there, Barb. Just trying to check out. So, man, you guys are just throwing stuff in the chat room right now, and I really appreciate it. You know, they do absolutely have to breathe like horses do. And, you know, I mean, when you're putting a rope like that up underneath that bull – and you're squeezing everything in, you're not allowing that bull to exhale like he needs to. And, you know, I mean, think about where that rope is placed, right up underneath the back shoulders. Now, in a standard deal, you know, in a standard bull ride, when a bull rider takes his pull, you know, and I've pulled many of Cowboy's bull ropes, I've had my hand tied into many bulls, you know, and I for one can tell you that usually I pull it till it's tight, I slide it back, you know, just enough to where I pull that excessive skin out where it doesn't pinch, you know, or doesn't break loose during the bull ride. I have them bump me up one more little bump. I take my wrap, I slide up, and I nod my head, okay? That is as secure as you need to have your hand in that rope to give you that advantage. The rest of it is up to you to hang on and stay up on your rope like you need to. Brazilians like to sit back, and other cowboys like to sit back. You know, they feel like if that bull is flat spinning and they're just turning, they can stay with them using their arm strength when the bull's flat spinning. It's when the bull is lunging and dropping and kicking and stretching out that they can't stay with them. So if they have that advantage, if they by pulling that rope so tight that bull can't stretch out like that, that's what keeps them on the ground, and that's what gives those cowboys that advantage. And I say cowboys because there are Americans who are finding out those traits as well and trying to do the same thing. Are they perfected on it yet? No, I don't think so. You know, but the Brazilians, they start riding at a very young age, just like we do here in America or in Australia or Canada or anywhere else. But that's the way they're taught. That's the way they're brought up to ride bulls. So hopefully that will explain some of that for you. I hate to have you guys get the wrong impression. You know what I mean? But I do hope that it explains something to you. You know, now I will tell you, like I said, when you're on the PBR tour, you know, when you're on the Built for Tough series, I think that you're going to see a lot more guidelines be straight down where you like they said with the rule change, you cannot have more than two hands on that bull rope, you know, pulling at any particular time. Well, in that case, Brendan's right. You can't pull that bull rope any tighter. If you've only got two hands allowed on that bull rope, then you absolutely cannot you can't pull that bull rope any tighter than the next guy who has two hands on that pulling that bull rope, you know, unless you've got a 180-pound guy pulling your rope that's nothing but pure muscle, or and you have a 130-pound guy pulling your bull rope over on the other side. There it's going to get pulled a little bit tighter. But in essence, the standard is, you know, on that Built Four Tough Series. Now, I will tell you this. What goes on behind that bucking chute before that cowboy slides down? Is that rope being pulled tight by two people and being locked in there, tied in, while that bull is waiting to be loaded in the bucking chute, where he's already exhilarated, you know, and working himself into working his heart rate up to where he's exhausting himself? Something that we can't see because we can't watch it on television. We may not be able to see it behind the bucking chutes. So I believe that is a PBR rule. That is a PBR rule that you can only have two hands, because I know that we have been out to several events where I've had myself pulling somebody's rope, somebody else coming behind it, putting their hands on it, pulling it as well, and then having the Brazilian bull rider come back and yank on it with his free hand as well. And to me, that's way excessive. That's way excessive. And I've deliberately let off because I don't feel like that's giving that bull that advantage. And the bull rider has come to me afterwards and said, "Hey, man, what did you give up on pulling my rope for?" And I explained to him that exact reason why. So, it is a PBR rule that you can not have more than two hands on that bull rope when it's being pulled. But like I said, you know, there's some things that still go on behind the scenes that we may or may not see, you know, that is exhausting that bull and not giving him that full ability. You know, if he's already worn down, then just by pulling that rope snug, and you've seen that too. I have literally seen stock contractors go up there and yank bull ropes off those bulls and throw them out into the back pens and tell them, "You go get your bull rope. I'm not going to get it for you in the middle of those bulls." You know, and you'll see cowboys back there trying to hook their bull ropes so they don't get hooked themselves trying to pull it out, you know. So it's something to think about. It's something that, you know, do I want to discourage you guys from what happens in the sport itself? Absolutely not. I want you guys to be just as excited about it, you know. I love the competition, and, you know, in the sport of bull riding, you know, that competition is hot, but everybody should have a fair shot, you know. And you may ask, well, why is that bull bucking differently with an American than he is with a Brazilian? That may explain why. I do see that I see some of the other comments coming in here about, you know, Sean Willingham and a few of these other guys trying to do some things to mimic, you know, what the Brazilians do. Because just like Brendan said, if you can't beat them, join them. You know, so they're trying to find a way that they can get that advantage and watch, you know, they're watching these guys like a hawk. Like I said, I've seen these guys ride that way for a number of years while I've been out there on tours, you know, and do I agree with it? Absolutely not. Am I discouraged by it? Absolutely not. I feel like I'm going to go out there and ride my bull to the best of my ability. If that bull bucks and kicks a lot harder, guess what? I'm going to get scored a lot more. But it's my job to stay 8 seconds on him, you know. And so I'm going to do what I have to do that. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to do it by the rules, you know. And if my bull bucks to the best of his ability, I'm going to get scored higher than a bull that's flat spinning anyways. So, yeah, I'm going to take it that way. That's the way I looked at it when I was out there on the tours, you know, trying to make it and make a living at it. And I think that, I think it's kind of gone away because the amount of Brazilian bull riders that are up here now, the amount of people who are riding that way, whether you're American, Australian, Brazilian, it doesn't make a difference, but you'll see that more and more people are trying to mimic that, you know. And I'm glad that you guys are getting a taste of this, and I hope, like I said, I just pray that you guys are not put off by what I am telling you. You know, I don't want you guys to be discouraged behind it, but I want you guys to understand the reality of what does happen out there. The rope itself absolutely makes no difference to the bull, you know, but it does make a difference to the comfort level of some of the riders. I will tell you firsthand, I personally rode with a Brazilian rope for a year. I rode on circuits you know, for over a year, and I ended up giving the Brazilian rope away because I did not feel it messed with my style of riding at all. It does create more of an arm strength, but when you're heating that bull up and you've got that bull rope pulled so tight and the bull's flat spinning, you can use that arm strength. If that bull is bucking up and dropping his nose and stretching out because you're not pulling that bull rope tight enough, well, now you've got, if he's stretching out like they did with me, because I personally never pulled a Brazilian bull rope, an American bull rope that tight, that bull didn't do a flat spin. That bull stretched out, and it made it very, very difficult to stay up on your rope. And it caused me some heartache. It caused me some trouble. So I went back to an American rope where I felt like, you know, I could place that bull rope in the center of his back, and I could ride better that way. It was just a comfort level, and that was why I went back to it. But I will tell you this. You use an American rope, you use a Brazilian rope, and you pull it as tight as what those bull ropes have been known to do, and you do it behind the bucking chutes. You do it before that bull's even loaded. You get your bull rope on, which is a standard thing, you know, and then they roll that bull up. But if that bull rope is already just, I mean, downright tight on that bull, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be worn out by the time he gets there. So, I know that, you know, I see some of the other comments coming in about the Brazilian rope, but if you look at Brendan Clark actually places his bull rope more towards the center. He doesn't offset it down the side of the bull like the Brazilians do. But you mark my words, go back and watch some of the bull rides that you'll see Adriano, that you'll see, you know, Galermi, that you'll see Renato. Now, you know, there are a few of those rides where those bulls are just drop kicking, you know, and those are the fortunate ones. But you watch where most of these bulls are, you know, if they go out one or two times, they're absolutely worn out, and they go to a flat spin, and that's where the bull riders really stick it to them, and you know, it's kind of easier when they're doing that. You know, I see some of the comments about that. We've got about 15 minutes left in our show. Man, I will tell you what, we have absolutely rocked this deal, and I love the comments that are coming in here about this. Let's take another short break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap things up with this comment in here that just came in about the sportsmanship of these guys. So you guys don't go anywhere. You're listening to Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Making Eight, your official voice of Buckers Now and Rank Bull Apparel.
I hear you're looking for a cowboy to take you for a ride. Well, baby, I think that I'm your man. Cause I've been broken and busted, but these spurs still ain't rusted. And this saddle, this warmer shit still ride. And it's gonna be a long night, so baby, hold on tight. I talk slow, but I still move real fast. I'm here for the real deal, and your heart's all that I'll steal. And girl, there won't be no doubt. You can't resist my resist call. It's black as a nightfall. My boots are leather and nine. I'm here for a wild ride. I'll stand right by your side. We'll dance till the sun comes up. And I'm tore up and I'm full of a look down and look up. I'm a cowboy from my head to my toes. And this rodeo's all I know. I'll put on a real show, and girl, there won't be no doubt. I've been thrown, I've been bruised, tossed and confused. 8 seconds can seem like a day. But stay out of my way, cause I come to play. In 8 seconds is all that I'll see. You can't resist my resist all. It's black as a nightfall. My boots are leather now. I'm here for a wild ride. I'll stand right by your side. We'll dance till the sun comes up. And I'm tore up and I'm full of a look down and look up. I'm a cowboy from my head to my toes. And this rodeo's all I know. I'll put on a real show, and girl, there won't be no doubt. double docking boat ramp, and whiskey shaking never stirred. Tank tops and flip flops, those all night long truck stops, and beer when it's cold and whispery. You can't resist my resistance, black as a nightfall. My boots are leather and high. I'm here for a wild ride, I'll stand right by your side. We'll dance till the sun comes up. And I'm tore up on the floor of a look down the knuckle. I'm a cowboy from my head to my toes. This rodeo's all I know, I'll put on a real show. And girl, there won't be no doubt. No, girl. Think that I'm your man.
Howdy, folks. It's radio announcer Brett Weldon, inviting you to join us at MakingEight.com. No matter if you're passing this tying a calf in less than 8 seconds or staying aboard to the back of a mad bucker for 8 seconds, we got you covered. If it's happening in the rodeo arena, it's happening right here. That's MakingEight.com. Get a grip.
All right. Welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. And wow, you talk about right on. Miss Kat Johnson just said it, I mean, clear as day. You know, I'm going to read back the comment here because I think it's real important. You know, it says, you know what? If a rider believes the rope will help him, then it will. So much of riding is mental, and that is what it comes down to. Just like you'll see bull riders that refuse to change their riding breeches, you know, or they feel like a certain glove helps them, you know, or certain color rosin, whether it be black or yellow rosin, will help them. You know, if that rider believes that that's what's making it possible, then that's what's making it possible, you know, but it's his mental aspect that's actually doing it. You know, so that's, you know, really that sums it up. I mean, it really does. You can't ask for anything better. I mean, that great comment, Kat, I appreciate you throwing that out there. It makes perfect sense. You know, it's like somebody out there golfing, you know, if he believes one certain club is the only way that you're going to have to win, and that's what he uses, you know. But it is a mental game, and that's what they use. I also saw that, you know, some of these other comments that were coming in there, excellent comments. And I'm telling you, this is what this show is all about right here. That you know, that really explains it. Let's see. I got to go back here to this next, I guess you could say subject at hand. I want to talk about the sportsmanship. You know, I know that some of you fans are kind of turned off. Well, if you'll recall back a couple years ago, Casey Hayes got really mad out there in the middle of the arena, and he threw his face mask at the bull. And instantaneously, I believe it was Ty that said, you know, he needs to get fined. Absolutely, 100%. And he did. You know, he did take a fine for that. You're seeing now more days that the guys are not taking it out on the bulls because they know what's at risk. But you will see that there is some bad sportsmanship. I think Kat Johnson got to see some of that with some of these bull riders that got, you know, that got bucked off here at the NBR finals, you know. This is my perspective on it, okay? Take it for what it is, but this is coming from somebody who's spent time out there getting bucked off. First and foremost, I always tried to bow my head in the arena and say a prayer and thank God that I was able to get up and walk out of that arena, because you never know when you're not going to be able to. My last ride that I had in a competition setting was just that. I was not able to walk out of that arena. I was carried out on a stretcher, and I still don't remember any of it to this day. So that is first and foremost what I try to do every time, whether I get bucked off or whether I make a ride. That's one thing that I do like to try to do, is thank the Lord above for being able to allow me the opportunity to do what I just did. Whether it's a ride or whether it's not, the ability to be able to walk out of that arena says so much more to me. The next thing I do is try to tip my hat to the crowd, because they're the ones that are there cheering and applauding for me, whether I get bucked off or whether I ride, because sometimes that's what you get sent home with. And, you know, you'll hear the announcers say it all the time that their ears aren't broken, you know, or that, you know, that that's the only thing he's coming home with is your applause, so pay him off, that type of thing. That is absolutely, you know, that is absolutely 100% the way to do it, okay? But when I got back behind those bucking chutes, if I was frustrated at myself, this is not a game of, oh, well, there's always tomorrow. You know, you can think about that on your way home, but when you get out there and you get your adrenaline pumping so hard, you know, you will see. I mean, that's just emotion. That's just pure emotion that sets in. And sometimes you can't control that necessarily. You know, I don't blame these guys all the time. I think the ones that do it on a consistent basis, you know, yes, throwing temper tantrums is not a good thing. Walking out there and punching a sign in the middle of the arena is absolutely inappropriate, and I think that those guys should be somewhat fined or penalized for that. And absolutely, I see the comment that's coming in there now that Donna had posted out there. You know, Casey was caught because of how he directed it towards the bull. And 100%, you know, that bull got the better of him on that case. He was frustrated because he knew he had himself a ride. He felt like he was cheated because of what the bull did to outmaneuver him and buck him off. And so he took it out on the bull. Absolutely, 100%. You do that, you take it out on that animal, yeah, you need to be – there needs to be penalties. You do it out in the arena, and I think that you should be penalized. You know, but you get behind the bucking chutes, if it's on camera or not, hey, that's the risk. You know, and my thing is this, the PBR should watch where they go with their cameras. You have got to allow these guys to take out their frustrations because this is an emotional sport, you know. This is absolutely, you know, an emotional support or sport. Brendan Clark at the finals, you saw him throw his helmet down. He realized what he had done. He went over and picked it up. He waved to the crowd to say he was sorry. You know, that is what needs to be done. But you've got to understand that even the most upstanding guys, guys that we respect like Brendan Clark, who's such a PR guy, you know, who is such a guy that is for the fans and for the general public, still gets wrapped up in those emotions. It happens. You know, it's one of those things that we cannot necessarily control because of the amount of anxiety and the amount of adrenaline that we create in riding these bulls, the amount of aggression that has to come in there. You're going to war. When these bull riders sit down on these bulls, they're going to battle, you know, and they have to gear up for making that 8-second ride, not for you, the crowd that's watching, for themselves to be able to walk out of that arena, you know. So it, you know, we have to take a look at that, you know. You look at a guy like Casey Hayes, and Casey is very well, you know, he is very, I see the comment in there about him being well-mannered, you know. He absolutely is. But you have got to give these guys an opportunity to go vent behind the scenes. If you're going to put them on camera, then you take the risk. But we have to understand that this is not necessarily the bull rider's fault for doing that. When he does it out there in the arena, he slams his hands down, you know, and throws a temper tantrum out there in the middle of the arena. That is poor sportsmanship. Yes, you got bucked off. You know, you do what you need to do. You thank your Lord or whatever the case may be. You tip your hat to the crowd and you walk out. You know. It's just one of those things, you know. Bull riders are, you know, they're a different breed. And, you know, I will tell you this, that the adrenaline is pumping when these guys are out there. So just like when they make an 8-second ride, you see the Ben Jones boogie or whatnot, you know, it is, you know, they're going to express their emotions so great when they do make a great ride, or they're going to express it in a bad way. And, you know, we need to, yeah, you know, it's our perception on what we treat it as. I look at it as, oh yeah, Ben Jones got bucked off, here it comes, you know. But I also look at it as, okay, Ben Jones made a great 8-second ride, here comes the boogie, you know. So, I mean, we have to be able to take the good with the bad, you know. we can't expect these guys to come out there and only express themselves in a positive light 100% of the time. But I will tell you that there are some Cowboys out there that do have some issues with that, that they do have some issues with getting bucked off on a consistent basis, that are throwing fits out there, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I see the deal about Rockstar shoving their energy drinks right there in the faces when they walk off, you know. That's a PR thing. I think that's something that the PBR has done, you know, to let these guys Rockstar, because Rockstar is putting money in there, you know, in their pockets in order to carry on these events and put on these productions for you, the fans. That's one thing that they've allowed. I don't necessarily agree with it either. It's like NASCAR, you know. I mean, that guy can't throw a hat on without having to take it off and throw another one on just for the sponsors, just because it's TV time, you know. But that's part of the game. That's part of the production, you know, and that's where the sport has gone with the PBR. That's where the PBR is taking that sport, you know. Do we agree with it? I personally do not, but that's not for me to say, you know. So that's it. I think we're actually running flat out of time, guys. We have talked about some great subjects here today, and I hope that you guys are a little bit more enlightened and not offended by what I'm saying, just that, you know, the reality is that there's some things that go on out there that the PBR, that associations are not going to promote, you know. I'm not telling you to not become a PBR fan because of those things, but I think that, you know, I think that it's one of those things that, you know, you guys should be made aware of. I think you guys should have the absolute concept, and I don't think somebody should try to deceive you on those things. Do I think that the PBR has done that? Absolutely not. But, you know, from a political standpoint, they know it's in their best interest not to come out and absolutely tell you all that happens there, you know. It is what it is. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Make sure we're going to kick things back up tomorrow on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here with Macon 8. Got to let y'all know that we are still working on our deal to get to Texas. We had a good, you know, chance of it yesterday. It got shot down, but we're not going to let up. We've only got a few days to make it happen. So let's try to get together. Let's get a grip and make some things work. So until tomorrow there, rodeo fans, y'all get a grip with Macon 8, official voice of Buckers Now and Rank Bull Apparel. Go ahead, boy, hands to your money.
in Amarillo by morning.
This is Ross Hill, professional bullfighter, 2008 world champion, Muscle Shoals, Alabama. You're listening to Making8.com, so get a grip.